We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray,
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our brother in Christ, Ernie Aragon. How are you doing this morning?
Good, good. Excellent.
I'm always concerned that I'm going to mispronounce somebody's name.
No. Just like I always tell everybody, just don't call me late for dinner.
Right?
Yeah.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. If you would like to be entered to get the book of the month, all you have to do is like, share, and then comment "done" in the comments. The book for this month is A City on Our Knees by Toby Mack. Our sponsor for today is Gateway Church, located here in Elk City. Yeah, you're so faithful, Lord. Would you please pray to start us out, brother?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for bringing us all together. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that you've given me for this ministry to come in and bring your word to those that are out there that are needing it and are hungry for it, Father, that maybe just my style of doing it brings it to them in a different way. And I just thank you for that you have created me that way, Father, and you put me in that direction for people. I also pray for those that are out there, Lord, that are listening, that are hearing. I just pray for their ears and their hearts and their minds to be open, be receptive to the word, accept what the Holy Spirit is bringing to them, Father, and hopefully bring a renewal to their walk, or if they've never started a walk with you, Lord, to give them a foundation to start off from, Father. So everything I'm praying for, everything I'm asking for, I pray it all in your beloved Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hello, Liz. Hello, Neva. Hello, Rick. I like your title this morning. I'm trying to decide if I need to keep my feet up or if it's okay to put them down on the ground, you know?
Right.
But I'm ready. So your title this morning is Heaven or Hell or Heaven.
Yes, and I titled it that way because normally people would say Heaven and Hell.
Yeah.
But the reason I don't know why the Holy Spirit dropped it into me. Well, I do now, but why he dropped it into me to say Hell or Heaven. It was the other day, I don't know, we were at church on Sunday, and a pastor he had a really good sermon, and in there, my spirit caught, I won't say it caught something, but what it was, I came out and I remember, I don't know, some of us are old enough to know this, but back in the 80s, there was a band called AC/DC. Uh-huh. They had a band called Highway to Heaven.
Yeah.
Or Highway to Hell.
Yeah.
And so I was, some reason that tune came in my head, because I'm a musician, so I'm very familiar with that song. I've played that song many a times. And, I just started, Highway to Hell. And I said, wait a minute, hang on a second. I go, that's not right. I shouldn't be singing that. And then I said, well, how about this? Highway to Heaven. And then right then I got corrected. It was immediately, it's like, there is no highway to heaven. Mm-mm. I was like,
Yeah.
He goes, there's a gateway. And so that brought me to Matthew 7:13-14. And that's where we're going to stay in pretty much. We're going to let the Holy Spirit kind of take us wherever we need to go with it. I already feel him coming on me, because I'm feeling the goosebumps already coming up. And I truly believe this is something that as believers we need to focus on. If you've not walked with the Lord any, this is actually a good foundation to start yourself off of, to understand where this all is. So hell and heaven, heaven and hell, however you want to bring it into your mind. Let's just go to the verse and get that out there so that way everybody knows where we're coming from. So I'm doing it in the NIV just so it's an easier translation. This is where Jesus was giving up parables and talking about, to people about all different sorts of things, about the future, about things that were happening, about how to look out for false prophets. But this was one of the things that he brought out to them, and the heading on it was the narrow and wide gates. So it's Matthew 7:13, and it says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Now just taking those words in into context, and what he was saying there is, like, you know, I can look on society of where we are at today. I can even look back when I was a kid. I could see the reflection of where many, we were there. We were all there once upon a time in the world, and the thing is, just so you're aware, when people start talking about, you know, I used to be in the world, that means that we lived a life of sin, that we were sinful people, doing the wrong things, trying to imitate the world, trying to, you know, take all the entertainment, whatever it was that at that time, and just make it a part of us, you know. Things that you would not consider to be sinful were sinful. And if you look in the Word of God, that it points out all these things. So in this world, we could see, we know people, because we knew ourselves at one time to be that way, that it's easier for people to fall into the line of the way the world is, because we're brought into this world, this society, whatever you want to talk about, and we're bombarded from morning to night with all the stuff that society has to bring. And when society brings things to us, a lot of times it's not bringing it to you for any godly sense or any spiritual sense. It's very destructive. I want to make sure I can say the right word. It deprives you. It deprives you of what you truly were brought to this planet for. So in this society, we are literally walking on that highway to hell, because we have not found salvation yet. It's when we find that salvation that brings us to the narrow gate. Because we're on, I mean, I grew up, you know, Los Angeles was like, you know, 2 hours away. And the highways out there, I mean, you're talking multiple lanes. You're talking some between 6 to 10 lanes on just one side of the freeway. So, in my mind, when I think highway to hell, I mean, wide is the gate. So many are going to follow that direction because it's wide open. There's no resistance. There's no narrowing. I don't know if any of you have ever been in bad traffic, but Los Angeles is bad traffic. If you want to get somewhere that's going to take you 10 minutes, you better get an hour ahead of yourself to get there in time, which would normally take a normal 10-minute drive. It's just that when traffic gets congested. So think of it that way. That's how I started looking at them. I'll think of it that way, that the highway to hell is congested. There are many, many people that are backed up into each other, not realizing where they're going, but they're just following what the world is showing and teaching and doing. It isn't until the time when the Holy Spirit taps into you. We will go through journeys in our lives, and through your life, the Holy Spirit will tap on your shoulder every once in a while, and it's all about you accepting what he's trying to bring your way. And so now we bring it to narrow is that gate, because not many are going to go through that gate, because not many are going to receive what the Holy Spirit's trying to bring to you. And I'll just say it this way. Everybody in the world is tapped on the shoulder. Everybody is. Mm-hmm. It's when we choose and decide to accept the invitation of the Holy Spirit to come and follow that narrow path. And a lot of things that happen are people will... Because the way things are built and made up in our society, it's hard for us to change the way that we walk. That means you literally, sometimes you have to change friends. Sometimes, some situations you have to change locations. Mm-hmm. Some situations you gotta clean out your life of a lifestyle that you've had. There's many things that have to change to make this walk. So that's where you'll hear a lot of people, man, it's just hard being a Christian. It's, you know, all these things you have to give up. Well, the have to give ups are what's holding you from the walk. That's what's holding you from Christ. These are the obstacles that the enemy, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call him, puts on you and burdens you so heavily that you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, because he's got you in such a dark place that if you don't get it straightened out, or many bad things can happen to you through this walk. And so you are definitely on a highway to hell as you're moving through. But when you get that tapping of the Holy Spirit on your shoulder, it's accepting that invitation. And one of the greatest things that I took from our pastor is, you know, everybody's chosen to follow Christ. But the biggest key of that is you have to choose to be chosen. So it's the making the choice to follow the Holy Spirit or follow Christ and learn about him and know what he is. And so as time moves forward, when you become a child of Christ, you start realizing all this stuff that was hanging on you, all this dead weight that you were carrying. As soon as that starts getting washed off of you, as you are becoming more and more closer with the Lord, the more you keep doing, the more this stuff gets broken off you, gets washed. The only way I can describe it is getting washed. It's like maybe you were caked on with so much dirt and mud that it just washes and cleans you and brings to you to the core of who you truly, truly are. You know, what God has intended you and made you to do in this world. He brings you to that cleansing of your inner being to society. And at that point in time, when you've, like where we are at, I mean, your whole world changes, your whole perspective changes, your whole outlook on things change. You see things now from a different perspective, to where it's something where me and my wife, we kind of struggle with nowadays is, you know, coming from a background where, you know, cursing was the, you know, around us 24/7, we did it ourselves. Now we're more sensitive to it when we hear it or people around us. And, you know, I'm just giving a light sense of what, you know, walking through Christ, you start realizing how bad you were in the world. And then not necessarily how bad others are around you, because they've not been touched by Christ yet. They haven't had that awakening with inside themselves. So, I mean, as us, all we have to do is, you know, we got to pray for those individuals and show, and you need to be the light. I think it was a teaching that I did. Last time I was here, I think it was in November. There's a lot of stuff's been going on in my life, personally, work-wise. And believe me, it was a struggle to make sure that today was going to be locked down. Almost didn't have to come in today. Almost was not coming in today. All right, so let me break. Just give you some more to go with it. It says, so there are two ways of life. One is the easy way and pleasing self, which most choose, and which leads to destruction. So that's basically explain it to the basics of it, of what I've been trying to teach you. The other is the narrow way of denying self for Jesus' sake, which leads to life. So there we are now. We're talking about heaven and hell. Now we're talking about life and death. When you are a sinner, you are living in the world of death. There's nothing you can do physically to keep yourself from not receiving the penalty of death. And that sounds pretty harsh. That sounds pretty bad, you know. And that's, again, the highway to hell. I got highway to heaven stuck in my head.
Yeah.
I wish everybody had, there was a highway to heaven, but I mean, it is you getting yourself to a point where you are going to be able to walk through that gateway. So it's getting off that highway, but bringing it back again is that it's a life and death choices that we make in our life. So, and what we just read there is obviously walking the way of the world is a life of destruction, is a life of death. Because at the end of the day, if there was something that happened to you and you check out from this world, it doesn't matter. I've heard people say, like, I got my faith, you know, I believe in Jesus. But if you're not walking out that life, you know, if you're not showing the fruits of the Spirit in that life, I can almost guarantee you that whatever you perceive and believe that that's your faith or mm-hmm. how you have Jesus in your life is locked down in you, I can guarantee you it's not. Because it's how you choose to live your life by proclaiming that if you are a follower of Jesus or proclaiming that you have a strong faith. If you're not living it, you know, if you're not living it, even like at the minimum, if you're not going to church on Sunday, and that's at the minimum of minimum of what you should be doing, you know, you are not guaranteeing yourself with the promise that you're going to go to heaven. There are still things you still have to do, things you still have to keep make happening on a daily basis to make sure that you are moving into that light, that you're staying in that light. When you start taking this walk, you will have other roads and detours that are going to pop up in your life. Some are planted for you by the Lord, and some are your own doing, you know, your own choices. But thankfully, if you're under the grace of God, He's going to pick you up, straighten you out, like kick you back on the main road. Say, Lord, forgive me, and keep moving forward. He is that much of a beautiful God that He has enough grace in Him to like, no, okay, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. You're kind of going off the road here. Let me help you. And but if you don't accept that help, you're going to go down that road, and He's going to be okay. You go ahead, head down that road. I'll see you when you're ready to turn back onto that road again. And let you go through those trials that you put yourself through. There are trials that He puts you through, and there are trials that you put yourself through. And I believe most of the time when you put the ones of yourself in through, those are the worst ones and the hardest ones, and those are the ones you really want to turn and say, God, where were you when this was all going on? Well, you got to go back, you know, you got to go back it all the way back up. Were you on the right path? Were you following the right direction that He wanted you? Or did you make that choice? That's a big part of it. One reason why many do not follow the narrow way is that they are deceived by those who teach their own views on how people can find meaning of life. Their teachings at first sound reasonable, but in the end it proves to be destructive. The teachers appear to be a harmless as sheep, but actually many are dangerous as wolves. A bad tree produces bad fruit, and wrong teaching produces wrong behavior. So, you know, you've heard the saying, you know, I'm going to give me one of them self-help books. A lot of people go out there, they feel like they need to do something to straighten up their lives or do something right, make it correct, you know, whatever's going on with their life that they need. And so they'll get these self-help books. Now, there's nothing truly wrong with that, but the point is where are you getting your teaching from? Who is this individual that's bringing this teaching to you? I will say this, probably 9 times out of 10, those that follow in any of these books will fall back in the same situation that they've had before, or their struggles become a lot more harder because they're trying to do what they themselves are trying to fix in that situation. As believers, we have a book of knowledge and reference of how to live a life, guidance, direction, that helps us maneuver the Bible is a self-help book, is what it is. But the difference is between a regular book and this book is this Word of God is anointed by God to teach you to be a child of God. And as soon as you start adapting that into your life, all that self-help that you're going to get out of there, it's all going to produce fruit. It's all going to produce great fruit in your life because you're now living and breathing the Word of God out of you to everyone that's around you, and people can see the manifestation of you being Christ-like in the world. And it, you know, to a lot of people, it's uncomfortable when they know. I mean, when you are walking, especially old friends or relatives that come around you, man, they start acting really different because it's not necessarily because you are different. It's just because the anointing that you're carrying on you affects the spirit that's inside them, because the spirit inside them is not a godly spirit. Because they are tied into the world, they got a worldly spirit that just does not. When the light gets close to the darkness wants to turn and run. I've seen it many a times. So that's just showing you any self-help books that are out there. There's no really good self-help book. Only one is the Bible. Grab a hold of that one, and that's going to teach you and show you what you need to do, how you need to live your life. My pastor always has a great analogy of that. He goes, if you're to take the Bible and an individual and put them on an island, and there's no one else around them, and they have no other resources of information, and all they have is the Bible, he goes, I can guarantee you that this is going to be one Holy Spirit-filled individual that comes off this island looking around at people around them going, what is your guys' problem? You know, so just taking that into context, if it was, that was the only thing you had in your life to make your life, to give you light in your life, that's all you're going to need. Another reason why people do not follow the narrow way is that they deceive themselves. They think because they attach themselves to Jesus followers, they will get Jesus' kingdom. They may even preach in Jesus' name, but if they have never had a personal experience with God through faith and repentance, they too will go to a place of destruction. So there are people that are out there that are preaching the word of God. I would have to say that they are they started off with probably good intentions. But the world has gotten a hold of them in some form or manner, and their teachings can be altered because people are influenced by an individual. That is just how society is built, and that's where we need to be influenced by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God, we know we are walking in the right light, and the Spirit of God, well. The Spirit of God directs us to individuals that we need to have speaking to us. There are many pastors, there are many ministers that I go to, and I listen and I talk to that the Lord has led me to. There are some that I've checked out, and my spirit doesn't you know, work with them very well. And my spirit's not registering with them the right way. So it's like there are many that I just don't follow or I get into, or I don't connect with directly. There are some that do, and it works for them. And that's, you know, that's what happens. But we got to be careful of who we're allowing to minister into our lives to teach us, to show us, God's way, you know, the Jesus's way. I mean, the best teacher is going to be you, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Bible. Best teachers of all is going to be right there. But it's a matter of, you know, it's good to go outside and see where other people's perspectives, their teachings with the Holy Spirit has put on their hearts to teach you and show you, and bring you, you know, bring you closer to that path that you need to get into. Make sure where I left off at. Okay, and then if people hear Jesus' teaching but do not act upon it, they are deceived. They are deceived themselves and heading to disaster. They are like a person who builds a house that looks solid but has no foundation, and so it is destroyed when the storm is tested and comes. And that's Matthew 7:24 and 27. So what I'm trying to bring to you, like, you know, Brother E, where are you going with this? I thought we were talking about heaven and hell. We are. We still are on that direction. What I'm trying to help you do is get a foundation to understand that where you are building your life at is either a life of death or a life of destruction. Or excuse me, a foundation of life or death. And that I'm trying to point that out to you. So the reason I'm saying all this is because you need to an account of your personal inventory. There we go. Perfect. Personal inventory of your walk with the Lord. You know, you go to church on Sunday. That is awesome. That is great. You should be doing that. But does your church have its doors open any other days? Are you there on those days? The thing about it is, it's not so much that you are doing this. You are showing the Lord that you truly love Him. You're showing the Lord that that it's you, not me, in many areas. And so the more opportunities you have to be with God or be around fellow believers of God, it's gonna keep your core strength, your spiritual strength, locked in place when you're doing things and around places that are constantly within the structure of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And that's another main thing. There are many churches that are out there that don't bring the Holy Spirit to the forefront of their ministry. A lot of it is a lot of words. I've been to many a churches to where I've felt I could walk in and what ends up happening with me is I'm like, this is very, very dry in here. It is so dry. I mean, it's brittle dry. And what I mean by that is when you walk in, there is no atmosphere of the Holy Spirit at all in these places. And it saddens me because people are there to be nourished. But that's, again, it's how they are taught or what they've accepted as the main things are going to be like doctrines and religions, you know, certain churches. All those things kind of are hindrance to a spiritual growth in someone. So that's why you as an individual need to break off. If they're teaching and you're not seeing that individual and their fruits, let's get to that. The fruits of the Spirit are joyful things. They are things of happiness. You could tell when you see someone like, man, what makes this guy tick? Why is he always so happy? You know, and he's always talking about Jesus. He's always on fire about Jesus. You know, so someone like that is who you want to be around. But if you have people that just don't want to communicate in that, even after church is over, you got to know there's something going on. So you got to let the Holy Spirit. There we are again. Thank you, Lord. The problem is that there are many churches that just do not observe the Holy Spirit. It's not a part of their daily ministry. Going to church isn't going to get you to heaven. It's not. You can go 7 days a week, 24/7. If the Holy Spirit isn't there teaching you, showing you, and guiding you, and bringing you closer and closer to that walk, your walk isn't going towards that gate. It's going the other direction. I'm sorry if that's stepping on some toes. I'm sorry if that's what's hurting. But guess what? Again, the thing of it here, folks, is we're talking about life and death. You only got one body on this planet, and you got to live it out. You're either going to live it for this world or you're going to live it for Christ. So the more I figure you pour into Christ, the closer you're going to stay, the more you can stay more rigid on the pathway to that gate that leads to heaven. It's easy to take the shortcuts. It's easy to take the small roads. It's easy to go in different directions. But as long as you're staying and sticking with the Lord and moving in that direction, you're going to be fine. So it's the key for you is you need to find a church that is preaching the Holy Spirit. It's all about the Holy Spirit. And you're walking in, are you feeling that? It's not like a physical feeling. You know, like when I walked in, it's like I got goosebumps because I was starting to, I knew what we were going to be talking about was going to be good. And I was like, that's the Holy Spirit telling me, hey, we're gonna hit it and hit it hard. That's what you need to be feeling. So we need to take a break, sis, or okay.